Hi, I'm Lori Pickens, a photographer and photo educator. I'm passionate about helping photographers just like you get profitable and productive in their own businesses. As a mom to three kiddos, I know how hard it can be to juggle all the demands of life. But I also know that it's possible to have a successful business and a happy family. And that's why I created Photo Goals, a podcast for creative business owners who want to learn tangible steps to automate their business through workflows, systems, tools, and strategy in order to go from scattered to streamlined with purpose. On each episode, I'll share simple, actionable strategies and systems that photographers at every level of experience can use. No fluff, just the good stuff. I can't wait to help you achieve your photography goals. Let's do this. Hey there, creative entrepreneurs. Welcome back to the Photo Goal Podcast. Today's episode is all about taking control of your most precious resource, your time. Do you ever feel like you're running on this hamster wheel, spinning all day, but never actually getting anywhere? Or you constantly finding yourself at the end of the day saying, I don't even know where my time went. You are not alone. As photographers and creative small business owners, we wear many hats. We're marketing, accountants, social media gurus, on top of all the creative work that we love. Plus, for many of us, the never-ending mom duties that we also juggle. And it's very easy to get bogged down in the tasks and feel like this clock is constantly against us. So that's where a time audit comes in. It's not glamorous. And some people can find it a little overwhelming or tedious, but it's such a powerful tool to understand where your time is actually going. So first, what is a time audit? So think of a time audit like a financial audit, but for your schedule. You're tracking income and expenses, and in this case, your time spent on various activities is what you're tracking. So for a time audit, you're actually going to keep track of how you spend all of your time, and I mean all of it. So why should I do a time audit? So here are some of the key benefits. You identify time wasters. We all have them. Those tasks that just suck up your minutes and turns into hours without any real payoff. A time audit helps you to point those sneaky culprits and identify either the root of them or how you can prevent them. It boosts your productivity. Once you know where your time goes, you can start streamlining your workflow and focusing on activities that move the needle in your business. I also find that when I pay attention to how much time I'm spending on things, I'm by nature more productive, automatically are more efficient. And just by paying attention, you're going to be less distracted. You're going to think about how you're spending your time. You can gain control. If you're feeling overwhelmed, a time audit helps you regain a sense of that control over your schedule and allows you to feel like you can prioritize what matters the most. It's going to actually improve your work-life balance. If we're being honest, creative business owners bleed into our personal lives. I know even for myself, you know, I'm playing with my daughter and I'm thinking about the email that I want to send. Or, you know, you've made dinner and you slip back into your office just to respond to something real quickly. A time audit can help you identify areas for improvement and carve out dedicated time for rest and recharge. So how to conduct a time audit? First, you want to choose your tracking method. There is no hard, fast rules on how you have to do this. You can use a time tracking app. I know I've played around with Toggle before, where basically it will track your time online. I use the project management tool ClickUp, which will actually let you track your time per task. So basically when you open the task, you can turn on the tracker for that one specific thing, which is great too if you do have a team, so they can track their time and you can say, you can kind of look back at, okay, it took her this many hours to schedule social media posts for the month and kind of reflect on, you know, was that a good time or too much time or things like that. But you can track it in just a simple notebook. Maybe you just have a notepad sitting beside you all day long and you just casually make notes of what you did in the last half an hour, the last 15 minutes, the last hour. Or even a spreadsheet. I personally like to use my Google Calendar
I love my Google Calendar for all things. My favorite things about the Google Calendar is I'm an iPhone user and my husband is Android. So Google allows us to share things cross-platform and not be any kind of Mac specific or Apple specific and things like that. I also love that I can put things on different calendars. So they're color coordinated and the viewing options is different. So I actually have a calendar that I call Lori's schedule and it's shared with my husband, but I can promise you that he turns it off. So, but he doesn't see it. I know originally when I set it up, he's like, why does this say shower? You're like Lori's shower. And I was like, oh, I'm just tracking my time for today. And I wanted to see where I was spending time and things like that. So it's a separate calendar. We have one like for all of our shared family activities, all the stuff the kids go to that we have to get people back and forth to. But it all shows on one screen in Google Calendar so that I can see, you know, this is when the kids have to go to school. I have to be done with all of my tasks by 2:45 because I have to leave to go pick up the kids. The other thing I love about Google Calendar is you can turn on Google Tasks, which just shows up as a sidebar on the right hand side. Then you can actually add dates and times to your tasks and they can show up even as completed items on your Google Calendar. So maybe my big three for the day, my three big tasks that I want to do is record this podcast, schedule social media for the month, and email my taxes with it. Maybe it takes me longer. So I end up either adding a ClickUp entry for the amount of time that I spent, you know, writing the outline or actually physically recording the podcast. But then when I mark off that Google task, it shows up on the calendar. So even if I don't put a manual entry in there for the half an hour before, I can see, okay, this is when the task was completed. It usually takes me half an hour to 45 minutes. So that's what that time was spent doing. So whichever way feels good to you. If you like just notes, if you want an app, there are actually some apps that you can turn on that will in the background track your computer and like which applications you have. Like it'll say you spent this many hours in Gmail and you spent this many hours in Panoply and you spent this many hours on Facebook. It will actually track your computer screen and what you were doing, which can be kind of eye-opening for some people too if they don't realize how much time they're spending in certain different things. And the same for your phone. You can do time tracking with your phone. So track every activity. This is where most people underestimate the power of a time audit. You want to be honest. Like, you're not turning this in to anyone who is going to pass judgment. This is for you. Track everything you do. Client calls, editing photos, checking social media, answering emails. The more honest that you are and the more thorough you are with how detailed you track, the more information you're going to have at the end of the week to make adjustments or to figure things out. So step three is to categorize your time. Once you have a week's worth of data, you can categorize your activities. Some of these categories might look like client work, which is, you know, shooting sessions, editing, communication, that type of thing. Marketing and sales, planning social media, scheduling social media, website updates, proposals, admin tasks like bookkeeping, scheduling emails, learning and development. Maybe you've set aside time or you bought a course and you want to set aside time to make sure you're reading that and following the steps. And even personal time. Track your breaks, track your lunch, track your workouts. I even find it kind of interesting the days that I do my sauna and shower kind of routine in the morning. And that a lot of times those end up being my more productive days. When I look, I feel like there are certain things that may feel like personal time, but maybe they set you up for a good routine for the rest of the day. Just interesting things that you might find when you start to kind of categorize or find trends or patterns. Next, you're going to analyze and uncover time gaps. Here's where the magic happens. Look at your data. Are there entire chunks dedicated to unproductive tasks? Maybe you spend a surprising amount of time on social media, or you get lost in email rabbit holes. If you have big chunks of data, big chunks of time that you can't account for, or you're like, oh, well, I went into my email, but then I got this and I spent forever looking up marketing things or shopping on thing because I got an email from a newborn prop store and I didn't even need to. It's just ways that you can identify where are the holes, where is the potential. So step 5 is take action. Now that you've identified your time wasters, it's time to take action. Consider some of these strategies. Set time limits. Maybe you block out specific times for tasks like email or social media to avoid getting sucked in. I know I've said this before the podcast, but you don't need to be in your inbox all day long. It's really better if you can say, okay, I'm going to check email at 10 a.m. and at 4 p.m. and let the rest of it go. If you're super concerned about being responsive to client emails, I would set up some kind of automation like a Zapier where it texts you and says, hey, you have a new lead that you haven't responded to. Something like that where you're not having to constantly look at your email, because the truth is you don't need to. It's funny, I remember a study once that was saying that email, which you don't think about it being this way because it doesn't sound fun. But it can be that same kind of dopamine hit that people, the sensation that people get like with a slot machine. You know, it's the idea that you're swiping down a little bit and it's refreshing and you're going to find something new. Same with Instagram or Facebook, you know, that if you refresh the screen and it's all of a sudden giving you this new content. You don't need to do that, but I think we all find ourselves refreshing that just out of habit. So setting time blocks can help that. Setting time limits also will help you realize when you're taking longer than maybe you intended to. If you've decided, you know what, it really shouldn't take me more than an hour to write a blog post, and you're constantly finding that it is, maybe there's ways that you need to find to make that more efficient. How can you plan better? Can you do batching to help with that? And it's also that idea that whatever time you give something is oftentimes how long it'll take you. You know, if you think back to college or whatever it is, if professor gives you 2 days to write a report, you're going to do it in 2 days. If they give you 3 weeks, you're going to write a report in 3 weeks. You know, so if you give yourself a half an hour to craft an email and send it, you probably will. So another one that I'm a big fan of is delegate and outsource. Can you delegate certain tasks to free up your time for higher value activities? There's this concept of buying back your time. So if it's things that you constantly do that could be trained for someone at maybe a lower price per hour, maybe it's time to look at bringing in some help to do those things. So just do the social media schedule to set up automations that will respond to certain emails or do follow-ups. As I mentioned before, batching similar tasks. You may find that your writing social media posts takes you an hour because you do it every single day. Trying to think of, okay, what am I going to post today? What am I going to do? What reel do I want to do today? Where if you sat down and batch some of those activities on your calendar, you may actually improve efficiency. You know, sometimes you get in that zone of, oh, here's an idea. And you can kind of just go through them more quickly versus path switching. You know, I've opened Planoly. Now I've opened this. Now I've opened that. If you sit down and do one at a time in groups, you can be more efficient. Schedule breaks. This may sound counterproductive, but schedule breaks can actually boost your focus and avoid burnout. I also find that if you know you've scheduled breaks, that you're less likely to get distracted because you know a break is coming. You're going to focus on the time that you have. The same, you know, the personal time. I know that if I set aside this time to play with my children in the evening, I can do my work during the day because I know that reward or that extra time that I've assigned value to is going to be there. And I don't have to take time out of my evening or my dinner with my family to go check emails because this is the time. This is what I've said I'm going to do with this part of my day. I don't personally do this, but there is a setting in Google Calendar called Speedy Meeting that you can set up in the settings. And it will automatically create events, 30-minute events in 5 minutes early, and longer meetings, like an hour or something like that, in 10 minutes early. So by default, if you're stitching an IV, it's going to schedule it for 15 minutes. So that 10-minute in-between break is by default put onto your app. If you are a person that does a lot of like client consults, things like that, or time blocking that involves another person, it's a great way to do, because then you've built in that kind of 10-minute buffer of, all right, this is when I'm going to get up and stretch my legs and go get a drink of water, go to the bathroom. And you've built in those breaks by not having constant back-to-back activities. So remember, a time audit is an ongoing process. Don't get discouraged if your first attempt doesn't reveal earth-shattering insights. Refine your tracking method, repeat the audit every 3 months, and gradually you'll build a schedule that works for you and your business. If you find you're thinking to yourself, oh, I just constantly forget to even track time, or I don't have time to track it in addition to what I'm doing, maybe see if there's a habit that you can stack the tracking with. You know, maybe you say, every time I pick up my phone to look at something, to check notifications, that means I have to also make a note of what I've just been doing in between the last time that I touched my phone. This is a good one for people, because I don't think we even are conscious of how often we pick up our phones. You know, you can even set your phone to like time restrictions or time limits where you have to basically unlock it. It doesn't unlock with just your face. You have to say, like, ignore my time limit. I'm going to, and then before you go do whatever you're going to do on your phone, make a note in your notes app, on paper, where whatever you're tracking your time in, do that first. Say, oh, this is what I've done for the last half an hour. As crazy as this sounds, I actually basically I do a time audit all the time, Monday through Friday. I'm a person that, one, gets gratification in knowing that these are the things that I said I was going to do, and then following through with them. And I do like the idea of continual self-improvement. So I like to look at what could I have done better. One thing that I've found that really helps is if you do like a Monday hour one, which I am planning a whole other podcast episode about. But basically on Monday, you plan what your week is going to look like. And then, you know, you do a time audit of, okay, this is actually how long it took. This is, you know, things that went awry. These are things that changed. And you kind of learn to better predict how long it's going to take you to do things. And it's just a better way to plan your own personal capacity. Maybe you thought you could take 5 sessions a week, but it actually takes you longer than you thought. And once you actually track that, you can make better decisions on what is my capacity? What do I need to do to prioritize my own health and my own family and things like that? I don't track on the weekends. I should say that. I track most of the time Monday through Friday while my kids are at school. So probably from 6 until maybe 4. I do it 15-minute increments on my calendar. It's pretty much always filled in on what I done and what I did. And I know we talked about in the weekly or the daily bake free episode about you come away with the day with a sense of accomplishment. You know, if you end the day with a long to-do list, you may feel like I'm just not getting enough done. But if you look back at the time audit that you've done for that day, you might have actually done a lot, and you need to pat yourself on the back and give yourself grace of, you know what? I used my time efficiently. I did all that I can do, and I'm going to go to bed feeling good about that. So you can do this more than once. You can refine your tracking method. You know, maybe you tried to do it on paper and it didn't work, and now you're going to use an app, or the app was too hard and overcomplicated, and you want to switch to paper. Repeat the audit every few months and gradually build your schedule that works for you and your business. So your action item for this week, I challenge you to track your time. Don't pick a week that, you know, it's your kid's birthday party and you know you're going to be at school all day for 2 days, or, you know, it's super busy. Don't add steps to your life that you don't need to. Pick a week that's pretty standard that you feel is a good representation of how you spend your time. Use an app, notes on a sheet of paper, or block it on your online calendar. At the end of the week, try and plan one change that you can make to improve your focus time versus waste the time. Just one thing. Look back at it and say, what is one thing that I could have done better or differently to make this week more successful? And then each time you do it, you pick one other thing, and over time, tiny tweaks will make a big difference. So remember, Time is your most valuable resource. None of us are getting more of it. So take control and make it work for you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Boda Goals. If you enjoyed this content, it would mean the world to me if you left a review or send this to your business bestie. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss the next episode. And as always, check out the show notes for links to all my resources and info.
And as I tell my kids every day, be kind and make good choices.
Thanks for listening to Guiding Leader of You.